All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Zion. We're 147. We're together on 146. We're on Kuf Mem Vav, and we are already on the top of Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, and a continuation of opening up the jar in Shabbos. The Mishnah back in Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph talked about breaking open a jar. The Mishnah was very clear. Shover Adam, it's a chavis. A person's allowed to break open a jar in Shabbos because there's food inside and you want to get to the food. We had a discussion yesterday about muksa, about using a knife or a sword in order to open up the jar. And the Gemara yesterday did say that our mission is going like Rabbi Nechemya, and so therefore the figs were all clung together. But that's not la halacha. That's not the accepted halacha. You could... The figs don't have to be clung together. But the point is, however, the larger point of the Mishnah is that you're allowed to open up the jar in Shabbos because it's an act of kilkul, it's an act of destruction, and so therefore you're allowed to open up the jar. But then we talked about the wine and the magufa, the covering of the wine. They used to have with the wine jar, they put an exterior cover to it or some sort of plug to it. So the Mishnah says in terms of opening up that, so the Mishnah wasn't perfectly clear in terms of what you can do. If I could just go over the Mishnah again, I'm back in Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, just reviewing the Mishnah. The Ein Okvin Megufa Shachav is Divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says that you can't put a hole into the plug of the barrel on Shabbos, and the Chachamim Matir and the Chachamim say that's fine. You're allowed to put a hole in the plug. Remember, the plug is not, the barrel is already opened up, meaning there's already opening in the barrel. It just has a magufa, it has its plug. So all we're doing now is just piercing the hole. So we're not really piercing, we're piercing the plug, we're not really piercing the barrel. And so the Mishnah presented a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And then the Mishnah says, V'loik venu mitzida. You cannot pierce a hole from the side. Now, is that talking about piercing an area in the plug? It's talking about piercing the actual barrel itself. V'loik venu mitzida, v'imai senekuva, lo yiten ala shava. And then the Mishnah talked about filling up the hole with wax. But, in other words, the Mishnah is not 100% clear in terms of when exactly you're allowed to go through the plug, not through the plug. This is going to be our first discussion of the day. Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, we're three lines from the very top of the Amud. The Gemara starts off. V'shav v'shenok v'nekev yashan l'chatchila. We're all in agreement that you can make a hole through the pierce an old hole lechatchil. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Allah, b'makom ha'asur l'shamer, aval l'chazek asur. Okay, making a hole where there already once upon a time was a hole, so that is okay, but it depends where in the barrel this hole existed. Was this hole in a place where it was l'shamer or was it l'chazek? What's the differences between Shimur and Chizuk? Well, the practical difference we're going to see in just a moment. But conceptually, what exactly is the Gemara referring to? So Rashi points out that Lishamir means basically to make sure that the aroma of the wine stays within the barrel. That's Lishamir. Lichazek basically means so that the wine itself remains in the barrel. So Echidam Lishamir, Echidam Lichazek. So the Gemara now wants to know, what exactly does this mean? Practically, Amar Rav Chisa Lamala Min Hayayin Zeh L'Shamer Lamata Min Hayayin Zeh L'Chazek. So, in the barrel, if you are anywhere above where the wine is, meaning so you're in the airspace of the barrel, not where the actual wine itself is in the barrel, so that's L'Shamer. So, if there was an old hole over there and you're just simply reopening up an old hole, that's fine. However, if it was an old hole, it was stuffed up, and you're reopening up that hole, that's fine. However, if it's below where there's now wine, whereby reopening it up, the wine is going to spill out, that's lichazek, and that you cannot do. Even though you're not making a new hole in the barrel, there already was a hole there, it was plugged up, I'm just reopening up that old hole, that's lichazek, and that would be aser. Why would that be aser? Let's go back to Rashi. Rashi explains, lichazek, shechazek akli shelo yetze yeno, hol ustima mal yasehi, so Rashi explains the reason why is the following. Because since this is a part of the barrel where if I didn't seal up that hole, the wine would be coming out. So by me sealing up the hole, it's ki'ilu, it's as if we've made a new barrel. Meaning this is now considered part and parcel of the barrel. By me opening it up, it's like me making a brand new hole in the barrel. So according to Rav Chista, as long as I'm reopening up a hole that's above the level of the wine, that's fine. If I'm reopening up a hole that's below, so that you cannot do on Shabbos, you can't reopen it. That is opinion number one of the Gemara attributed to Rav Chista. Amalei Abai LeRav, back to the Gemara. Sorry, did I skip a little bit?
Yeah.
Rava Amar, thank you. Rava Amar Kigo Lamata Minayai Nami Zehu Lishamer. So if it's Lamata Minayai and if it's below the wine, that's also considered Lishamer. Ve'echidam Lechazek. So now, where is it considered like it's a totally new barrel? Kigo Shenigva Lamata Minashmarim. I'm so low on the barrel, it's where the sediments, the dregs of the wine are. The dregs of the wine are located all the way on the bottom of the barrel. That's considered lechazek. So, if there was a hole all the way there at the bottom of the barrel, and the hole was plugged up, and I'm opening up that hole, that's also on Shabbos, because it's ke'ilu, it's as if I'm making a new hole in the barrel. And now, let's quote a brisa that supports. Now, this is going to be interesting, because we're talking about the opening and closing of a barrel, where exactly on the barrel it's considered like the reclosing of the hole is considered like a new barrel altogether. I'm not allowed to reopen that hole. And we're going to go to an area in Halacha which is going to seem to be totally unrelated. By its awesome, let's say the house is sealed up.
According to Rava, what was the point of opening the bottom? I mean, it's not the way you're going to get the wine out from the bottom.
No, you're not.
So why would he open it?
Why would he do that?
There's no reason to open it.
I mean, if you want the wine to come out, so you'd open it up.
From the bottom, nobody does that.
Okay, I understood. But the point being, however, is that because it's so low, it's considered like part of the... It now is like a new barrel.
There was no reason to do that.
Okay, all right, fine. I accept it. So we're going to go now to Baba Basra. Now, we are going to... It's an interesting comparison the Gemara is about to make. Because now we move from the topic of barrels to the topic of houses. Now, in terms of houses, there are a number of halachas that apply to a house. We're going to be speaking specifically about two halachas. Halacha number one is going to be division of the common area of the chatzer. Okay, we live in association, so for us, this really speaks to us. So, in other words, like any good association, so you have common property. In other words, you have your house. And then there's the common area of the association. Let's say the association decides to disband. I know, that would be cause for celebration. So let's say the association decides to disband. So then what we basically would be doing is we'd be dividing the common property amongst all the homeowners. Every one of the homeowners, obviously, we originally shared that common property, but now that we're dividing the chatzer, so everyone's entitled to a portion of the chatzer. Before we make an equitable distribution of the chatzer, the first things first, I'm entitled to my home, obviously, which I already own, and four amos in front of my doorway. Four amos in front of my doorway, that is not considered common property. That's considered my own very own property, even before anything gets divided. So I'm entitled to the four amos in front of my property. What if it's a doorway which is sealed? So in other words, it hasn't been used for a long time. Am I still entitled to those four amos? The Gemara Baba Basra says, yes, you are. You're still entitled to those four amos. Beis Sasum. Now let's see. Now we can see the Mishnah inside. Yesh lo arba amos paras etz pitzimav. However, if I knocked out the door, and by knocking out the door, what we mean by that is the frame. The frame of the door has been totally knocked out. Ain't lo dal amos, so then he does not have dal amos. So as long as there's a doorway there, so then it's still considered a door, a functional door, even though no one's using it, and you're entitled to your dal amos. However, once the frame has been removed, so then you cannot, then you're not entitled to the four amos.
Besides the frame, what else is that to market? The market is the door.
Right, correct. Meaning the only thing we have now is a memory. Once upon a time, there was a door there, but you're right. Bait sasam in ematami kol svivav. And now another halacha, and that is the following. Let's say the house is a sealed house, and there's a mace inside the house. So what about anything outside the house is fine? Meaning, the tumah goes, if there's a mace inside the house, the tumah goes throughout the house, but is confined to the house. So any area right immediately outside the house is going to be fine. However, parsis pitzimav, but if the frame of the house has been removed. So now there's really no doorway to the house. So it's not really a house. What is it? So we're going to give it a new name. We're no longer going to call it a house. We're going to call it a kever. It's basically a large plot. It's like a, right, like a mausoleum. So mitami kol svivav. So now, what's the halacha regarding a kever? A kohen cannot step over a kever. That's a given. A kohen also cannot walk proximate to four amos of a kever. A kohen has to, midrabbanan, rabbinically, keep a distance from any kever, specifically of four amos. So kohen can't walk eight amos. Not, in other words, we're not talking about over the kever. We're talking about even proximate to the kever, you can't walk within eight amos. So this house, once it loses the frame of the doorway, no longer has the status of a house, now has the status of a kever, and now the kohen can't even walk four amos within the of the house itself. And what did the Gemara just do, aside from giving us two interesting halachas regarding houses? So the Gemara assumes that similarly over here, when we're talking about what is the very definition of the barrel, meaning how are we going to define the barrel, the very definition of the barrel of being mechazek is going to be that which is supportive of the barrel. That basically what holds the barrel together. Meaning the very lower portion of the barrel, not the upper portions of the barrel.
One question, if the neighbor across the street is his front door is southern.
Right. In other words, so how then does that become distributed? That's a very good question. But that's a Baba Basra question. It's a very good question. Okay, Gufta, now we move on in discussing the barrel. Okay, the barrel's got a hole in it. We're not opening up the barrel. We're not making a new hole in the barrel. The question over here is going to be a really simple question. Can we put a spigot in the barrel? Now, when I say spigot over here, so nothing fancy, just basically a hollow reed. And it'll allow for the flow of wine. I know the wine connoisseur, so they have this, leaf that you put in. That's not a leaf. It's whatever. You put a spigot into the wine so that the wine pours out easier. We're talking here about a barrel. Can I put a spigot in the hole? So, Gufta, Rav Asru, Shmuel Shari, so we have a machlokas between Amorayim, Rav and Shmuel, Rav is Machmer, Shmuel is Mekel, Mechatech, Lechatchil, Dukol, Emelo, Pligid Asr. Now, if let's say, we don't even have the reed, meaning, the reed is plucked off from the ground, that's not the issue, but it's not cut to size. So can I cut something to size? No. On Shabbos, absolutely not. In other words, if I have to measure something, cut something to size, so that's the Isser on Shabbos, it's a Molach on Shabbos, that's called Mechatech. That's part of the tanning process. So that's a given. Meaning there's no debate between Rav and Shmuel. Now, if let's say the reed was already cut to size, and it was already part and used as a spigot, and all I'm doing is taking it out and putting it back in again, so there's no disagreement. That's totally fine. The issue over here is as follows. We cut the reed to size. We have never used it yet once. And now we want, on Shabbos, to insert it into the barrel for the very first time. So it's mechatcha, it's cut, but it's not mitakna. It hasn't been prepped to start. It hasn't been used. So Rav, who was machmir, and says that you can't do it, so he was worried that because we haven't used it once, so the concern is I'm going to try to put it into the hole of the barrel. I see it's not a perfect fit, and so therefore I'm going to trim to size, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And Shmuel believes that there's no gzera. In other words, it was already cut to size. Yes, we haven't inserted it in yet. Shmuel's not worried. It'll fit. The Gemara is going to quote a brisa, and essentially what we're going to see from the brisa is, it's also machlokis amongst the Tanayim. The brisa over here talks about a tube, where the brisa says that you're not allowed to cut the tube on Yontif, and it goes without saying, in Sarach Lomar B'Shabbos, Nafla Machzir Nosa B'Shabbos, if there already was a tube in the barrel, and it fell out, you're allowed to reinsert it. Now, if you could do it on Shabbos, you could for sure do it on Yontif. Shabbos is more chomer than Yontif. And then after presenting the position of the Tanakama, then the Braisa gives us the opinion of Rav Yoshia, and Rav Yoshia is lenient. Who is he talking to? Rav Yoshia Ahaya. Ilem HaReisha Kametzakin Mana. Now, is he going on the Reisha, where it says that you're not allowed to cut a reed to size, and Rav Yoshia says, no, yes, you are. Can't possibly be. That's tikkun mana. You are now making a kli on Shabbos. Ela seifa. So it's going on the second half of the brisa, but that also can't be nami mishra kashare, because there we know that the chachamim say you're allowed to. Meaning, it's already the reed is already in the barrel, fell out. I'm allowed to reinsert it. And Rav Yoshi is adding what to the conversation? You're allowed to do it. Tanakama said you're allowed to do it. Ela dechaticha v'lo metakna. So, in other words, we're looking for some point of disagreement between the Tanakama and Rav Yoshia. The Gemara says we found it. Where? It was cut already. I never used it. Ika beinayu masavah gazrinan, masavah lo gazrinan. And that is the exact same machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Darash Rav Shisha b'rei d'Rav Idim ishmei d'Rav Yochanan, halacha ki Rav Yoshia. Interestingly enough, the halacha falls like Rav Yoshia, which means that in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is going to follow like Shmuel. Normally in halacha, especially a sevater, the halacha falls like Rav, but the Gemara over here clearly concludes that halacha falls like Shmuel. But again, it's kind of like a discussion we had the other day. It's because it's not limited to just Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan has an opinion, and usually Rav Yochanan trumps Rav and Shmuel in terms of practical halacha. So here, like Rav Yochanan also says that you're allowed to do so. Im haisa nekuva. Mishka. Now, what was the next point of the Mishnah? Is that if I have a little bit of wax, I cannot seal the whole of the barrel with wax. Why? So as we discussed yesterday, that's the Isur of Memareach. I'm taking something, I'm smoothing it down, and you're not allowed to smooth something down on Shabbos, so you cannot use wax to fill in the hole. What if it's a very viscous oil, a thick oil? Can I use that to fill the hole? Now, I'm not really sure if it's oil and liquid, how that's really going to fill the hole, but Mishcha, it's a very viscous oil. So can I use that? You know, in our in these modern Chanukiah lights, so what they do is they hydrogenize the oil. So it's like it basically turns into a clump. Okay, so maybe something of that type of thickness. I can't imagine that's basically the same thing as wax. All right, whatever. Now, you could argue about what kind of viscosity it is. Rav Asru Shmuel Shari, once again, we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Once again, Rav comes out to be a machmir, Shmuel comes out to be a mekel. Manda asru gazrinan mishim shava, manda shari lo gazrinan. Now, the oil in of itself, we all agree, it's fine. Meaning it's not thick, it's not waxed, it's fine. You're allowed to try to plug the hole in with this oil. However, is there a gzera? Rav believes there is, and Shmuel believes there's no gzera. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Chana le Rav Yosef befer shamat la mishmei de Rav mishcha sharei. He says, I heard that Rav says that it's permitted. Amar tvos rishba amar Shmuel hai tarfa de asa asor. The Gemara continues discussing using the leaf of a hadas leaf, basically folding it over in order to use as a way of conducting the wine, a funnel, a form of a spigot. So even though, by the way, the Gemara earlier concluded that spigots are fine, meaning you can't cut the spigot on Shabbos, but you're allowed to reinsert a spigot into the barrel. So Tosfos makes this point. This story with the leaf over here can't be exactly the same as a spigot, because the Gemara, just about 20 lines earlier, concluded that using a spigot is fine. So there must be another added feature to this leaf, because you're reshaping the leaf, right? That's essentially what Tosfos says. That in the case of the leaf, you have to fold it over. Yeah. There's more manipulation of the leaf. Either way, because if I fold the leaf over and use that as my funnel, so what's going to end up happening is I'm going to make a marzev. Now, a marzev is basically a gutter. Right, in modern Hebrew, those are the marzev of the gutters. So over here, the Gemara here is talking about a gutter for a house. So Tosfos, if you take a look back at Tosfos does bring a pshat that says that we're talking about the gutter of a house. But Tosfos can't imagine that that's correct. We're talking about a gutter for the wine, basically creating a funnel for the wine, so that the wine would stream out. Rav Ashi Amar Gzeir Shama Yiktom. Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the issue. The issue is that if I use a light leaf, the leaf of a hadas, and it's not perfectly fit to size, so what I'm going to do, or, no, let me say it better. Let's say it wasn't even disconnected from the ground, I may cut it from the ground. My benarika benar dekatum amanche. The Gemara says, and the practical difference would be, what if I already have leaves prepared? So if I have leaves prepared, so then we're not worried about me cutting and taking it off. Even though, generally speaking, lo plug rabbanan, when the rabbis make a gzera, there's no such delineation of what if I have leaves already prepared. But the Gemara over here says, if I have leaves already prepared, so then it would be fine. Whereas opposed to if the issue is I may make a marzev, well, irregardless of whether I have leaves, I don't have leaves, so then it would always be an issue. Beis Saja, last topic over here, somewhat random in its placement in our Gemara over here. Wearing felt. Okay, Rashi calls them levadim. Right? Rashi also calls it felt. It's not clothing. It's basically strips of felt that were used as cushions. So can I, on Shabbos, basically make it as a makeshift scarf or shawl? Can I wear it on Shabbos? Not can I wear it on Shabbos, but basically, does it serve as clothing on Shabbos? Can I go out in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim wearing these strips of felt? Rav Asher Shmuel Shari. Now, I'm imagining the reason why it comes up over here is because, once again, it's machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And again, consistently, Rav is being machmir and Shmuel is being mekel. So, berachim de kulei amalot pligi de Shari. Now, if it's soft felt, it's fine. Everyone agrees it's fine. And bekashin de kulei amalot pligi d'asar. And if it's hard felt, so then it's for sure not fine. According to everybody, ki pligi bim mitzah. So it's somewhere between hard and soft. You know, I don't know where exactly. I don't know enough about these items to know exactly where we're talking in the middle, where the middle is on the spectrum. But either way, mandas mechse kemasui umandashari lo mechse kemasui. So Rav, who's machmir, says that you're not allowed to wear these strips of felt which are not hard, not soft, somewhere in the middle. So he's worried that it's not clothing. It looks like you're carrying on Shabbos. Shmuel, who's Mako? No, he does not feel like it looks like you're carrying on Shabbos. V'hadarav la beferishin marla mechlala idmar. You hear this a lot in the Gemara. We never heard Rav give his opinion on this matter, but there was an episode involving Rav, which led us to the conclusion that Rav says it's aser. What was the episode? Rav iklala u'aser de lahavale Ravcha. So Rav went to a place and there wasn't enough room in the base medrash. Right, there was a lot of Talmidim. Again, Rav came in as a visiting scholar in residence, and he really packed the house. And there was not enough room. So, So what did he do? He went out and he sat in the Carmelis, so hopefully there would be enough room out there for everybody. Now it's the Carmelis. You're allowed to walk in a Carmelis, that's never an issue. You can't carry in a Carmelis. Isolate by Vesaja. So what did the Talmidim do? So sitting outside in the Carmelis, so a hard floor, so the Talmidim brought him something soft to sit on. So how do they bring it to him? They can't carry it through the Carmelis. They can't carry it into the Carmelis. And they can't carry it through the Carmelis. So what did they do? So they took the felt clothing, quote-unquote clothing. They wore the clothing until they got to the part where Rav was. Took it off, and so that Rav was now able to put it down. Rav was able to sit on it. Lo Yosef. And Rav refused to sit on it. Okay, and now, here we go. This is as classic as it gets. So we know the facts of the story, but we don't really know the reason behind the story. Why didn't Rav sit down on these cushions? So now, one interpretation of the story is, oh, I know why. Because Rav felt that the person was carrying it through the through a Carmelis. Now, mind you, by the way, that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issur D'Oraisa. So we're talking about benefiting from an Issur D'Rabbanan on Shabbos. Lamaisa, we tend to be makel about that, but okay, that's a Maisa Shabbos discussion. It's a good discussion, but not for now. Anyway, those who saw the event thought he wouldn't. The reason why he wouldn't sit down is because people carried it through the Carmelis on Shabbos, and it's not clothing. Velohi. Now the Gemara notes they're not right, meaning that's not why Rav didn't sit down on it. The Rav Achruze Machras Beisaje Sharei Umishim Kavod Rabbeinu Lo Yoshev Alav. Rav was just worried about the following. He's sitting down outside in the Carmelis. So is all the other Rabbanim. And what is he going to do? He's going to now sit on felt. All the other Rabbanim are going to sit on the hard ground. It's not right. And so therefore, out of deference and respect for all the other Rabbanim who are sitting outside with him, I'm not going to sit down on the felt. Thank you, but no thank you. It was not a halachic issue, it was a midos issue. Right? Or kavod haTorah issue. Oman ninu, and oh, by the way, says the Gemara, who are these Rabbanim who are with him, who he wanted to, so to say, commiserate with, and sit on the hard floor with? Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi, the Gemara notes, two students of Rav, who happened to have been together with him. And it's interesting, Rashi points out over here, they weren't just Talmidim. Meaning, if they were just Talmidim, so Rav didn't have to show any specific deference to them. Rashi writes, Talmidei Chaverim Hayulo. They were students who then turned into colleagues. Right? So in other words, they were really long-time students of Rav, outstanding students of Rav. They elevated to the status of colleague, and now Rav says, if they're sitting on the floor, I'm going to sit on the floor as well. Sounds like from Rashi that had they been just regular students, so then, yeah, then Rav could sit on the cushion and they could sit on the floor. Nosin tav shel oto chabor bishvil sheyehei shamor. The pit doesn't have any water, and the Mishnah says that you could take the food, obviously it's in a pot, put it in the pit, and it remains cool down there. Right? Anyone go through caves? Right? The temperature in the caves is always pleasant, regardless of what the temperature is outside. So you want to put the food in the pit so that it stays nice and cool over there. The Mishnah says that's fine. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that seems to be obvious. Okay, so we'll get to the Gemara in just a moment. Next point of the Mishnah, let's say you have good water. So you can put the good water in bad water. Now, obviously, right, if you're going to pour the good water into the bad water just means it's dirty and disgusting. So the good water, it's going to be hard to separate afterwards. Yeah. It means a pot of good water into bad water, but the bad water is cool, and essentially you're keeping it cool. This is refrigeration of the 3rd and 4th century. The esatzonim bechama, you could take cold water and put out in the sun b'shul shi'chama so that it warms up a little bit. Mishinashru kela b'derech b'mayim mahalach mehen v'eino choshesh. Let's say on your way home you got stuck in a downpour, or right, you had to walk through puddles. Your clothing now is soaked. You get home. Says the Mishnah, first of all, you can walk home. The first part of the Mishnah says it. It's kind of funny, but right, mahalach behen ve'nechoshish. But I guess the point of the Mishnah is that even if it means you're going to have to be walking through a pretty deep puddle, that's fine. You know, march on. He gia lechatzar achitzon, and now you get into your house. Now, not even into your house, you get into your chatzar. So, but remember, the chatzar back then was a closed partition. So you're now out of the public view. Shotchan bechama avalo keneged ha'am. You want to hang your clothes to dry, so the Mishnah says you may do so, but not where other people can see it. Okay, what's the issue over here? It's called marasayin. Marasayin means that you cannot give the appearance of doing anything wrong, even though you're doing nothing wrong. But you cannot give the appearance of doing something wrong. Right? The Pasuk says, Mishnah Shkalim. Third parak, I think. Okay, that was... It's been a while. But anyway... We're getting to Shkalim, actually. It's coming up. A short couple of Masechtas from now. So anyway, but the Mishnah Shkalim says, remember the Mishnah was describing the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. When he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, so he can't have cuffs, pockets, right? Because, right, the concern is that while doing his work of treasurer, so he may walk out and, you know... Right. So the Mishnah tells us that he can't own clothing or he can't work in clothing that has pockets, cuffs. So and even if he does nothing wrong, he still can't do it. Right? What's the issue? Right? Marsayin, you have to be above suspicion. So here too, the Mishnah says that you can hang up your clothing. That's not a problem. You didn't wash them, but not in a place where people can see them. Pshita, we start off now point by point in the Mishnah. Pshita, we start off with the first part of the Mishnah, which is, take your pot, put it in the cave, keep the food cool. Okay, so what? Meaning, why would I have even entertained the idea that it would have been prohibited? Well, I'm putting something in the ground. I may come to level the ground. Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is not a concern. Two. Putting water into water, only so that the water you're putting in remains cool. What's the big deal? Why would I have thought otherwise? Say if it's Rechlev, as it's on a Mechama. The Gemara says, you're right. It's a set apart point of the Mishnah. We find this very often. Sometimes the Mishnah makes a point which really has no Chiddush, but just gets us to the next part of the Mishnah. It's a set up point. And the set, it sets itself for the next part of the Mishnah, which is, I can put water in the sun so that the water heats up. Hanami pshita, ma'u detemen igza dama asi la'atmuni biremetz. Well, if I put it in the sun to heat up in the sun, my next move may be to put it in coals, hatmana in a davar hamosif hevel, which is an iser on Shabbos, iser daraisa. So the Gemara says, kamash malan, the chiddush of our Mishnah is no such gzeira. You're going to hear this a number of times throughout Shas. In fact, we already heard it once before earlier in Shabbos, which is that whenever there's an issue of Marasayan, it's an issue in public and in private. The obvious question is, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you walked home, you got caught in a downpour, you had to walk through puddles, your clothing now is drenched. What did our Mishnah tell us? You can hang your clothing to dry, but privately, not publicly. If the issue of the Mishnah is Marasayan, so the question is obvious. It should be forbidden, regardless of where you put it. The Gemara asks this very question. So tonight, Shotcha Mechama V'lo Keneged Ha'am. And essentially now, the Gemara has presented its question. The question's been asked. How can Rabbi Yehuda Amarav say that Marasayan is always going to be Asur, when our Mishnah says it's fine? Interestingly enough, the Gemara says Tanaihi Machlokes Tanaim D'Tanya Shoshim Mechama V'lo Keneged Ha'am Rabbi Loz Rav Shimon Osrin. So we have a Machlokes, and interestingly enough, who does the Halacha follow? Like, not like the Tanakama of that Braisa, but like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, where when something is also Mishnah Marasayan, it's also afil bechadre chadarim, in your private room, which means then that you're not allowed to hang up the clothing to dry for fear that people will see it, even if it's in the privacy of your own home. And it remains an issue of Marasayan. What about just in the bathroom? Draping it over the shower door, I think that's fine. But once again, you'll ask your local rabbi. Amar of Huna. Okay, we are now basically, these are like bullet points over here, meaning from here until the upcoming Mishnah, we're pretty much done discussing our Mishnah. But now we're just going to hit on a number of issues. Rav Huna says, "Amanar talisa b'shabbos." We're on the top of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. If you shake your talis out on Shabbos, chayev chatas, you're chayev a carbon chatas. What's happening over here? It's not clear what's happening over here. Rashi and Tosfos argue. I'll present the Gemara like Rashi, as I traditionally do. But note, however, there are problems with Rashi's explanation. Rashi says, your clothing got dusty. Okay? You walked outside, it was very dusty outside. Your clothing now is dusty. There's no water on your clothing. It's just dirty. You can't shake off the dust. That's how Rashi presents it. Right? Rashi writes, Zehu libuna. That's libun. That's the iser of washing and laundering on Shabbos. Now, what makes Rashi difficult over here is that we're laundering on Shabbos. We're talking about the iser of kibus without water. There's no water over here. It's just there's some dust on my clothing, some dirt on my clothing. All I'm doing is shaking it off. And the way Rashi's presenting it, you just violate the iser of libun, even though it's without clothing. Rabbi Kiva Eger points without water. Thank you for listening. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out back on Kuf Mem Aleph, Rashi says that libum is only when there is water. So, and Rabbi Kiva Eger notes, he notes that both places, both here and on Kuf Mem Aleph. In fact, I think I told you a week ago, get ready for this Gemara. We're here now. So Rashi does seem to contradict himself on this matter. Okay.
It appears like libum.
Yeah, but I'd agree with you, but there are two issues. Well, number one, Rashi doesn't say it's an appearance issue. Rashi says that is libun. Two is that the Gemara says you're chayav karban chatas. If you weren't, you're not going to be chayav karban chatas for appearances. It would be nisa derabanan, but not nisa deraisa. So it's a good attempt. I don't really think that it works over here.
The process of shaking is the same as.
Okay, right. But Rashi does say earlier that it's only libun when there's water involved. It's an issue. It's not okay. V'lo amar ela b'chadati. Now, the Gemara qualifies. That's only true if it is new clothing. Avaba tikalei sanba, meaning a little bit of dirt on some old clothing. I say dirt over here. Let's stick with Rashi's pshat. A little bit of dust on some old clothing, shaking it off isn't really going to help much, so it's not an issue. Oddly enough, it's only going to be an issue if your clothing is black. But if your clothing is white or red, so then there's no problem. I know intuitively, you could have argued, you could have said that white clothing is just the opposite. That's where the dust is more. Okay, right. The Gemara assumes that, but that it shows more on the black. And the Gemara also puts one other qualifier in, and that it really has to bother you. Meaning, if it doesn't bother you, then shaking it off is not going to be an issue. Ula went to the town of Pumbedisa, the rabbis of Pumbedisa, not the Bnei HaYeshiva. So they were shaking off their clothing on Shabbos. Amar, and Ula was shocked. Kamechalim Rabban and Shabbasa. The rabbis of Pumbedisa are violators of Shabbos. He couldn't believe it. So Amar Lahu, Rav Yehuda Nefutzele Ba'ape, Anan Lo Kamtinan Midi. So in defense, he says, they're not makpid, meaning it doesn't really bother him that much. Therefore, it's not really libun. Okay. Abai Avakai Kamed Rav Yosef, Amale Havli Kumtai. So Rav Yosef asked for his hat. Chaza de'ika tle alaha. He saw that the hat had some dew on it. Hava kemachzim lemeisvale, and he started shaking it off. Amalei nefut shade anan lo kabdinan midi. And he says, it's okay, go ahead, shake it off. It's not a problem, because I'm not makpid, so shaking it off is not going to be an issue. I'm Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef. I'm Rav Yochanan Yosef. Batalas mekupels menechas alo aktefo b'shabbos chayav chatas. Now, you're not going to find this discussion really anywhere explicitly in the Gemara, but here's the closest you're going to get. How should you properly wear your talis? Right? The Gemara is never going to say straight out, this is a proper way to wear your talis. I'm talking about like the talisim that we wear in shul, right, during Shacharis, Shabbos, Shacharis, whatever. Our talisim. And the talis katan, obviously, it's pretty straightforward. But the four-corner garment, which doesn't have really a hole for us to put on, in other words, what Ben, what Hedy are wearing right now. What's the proper way to wear it? So, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the proper way is not to wear it, and that is to wrap it up over your shoulders and put it over your shoulders. I know in America sometimes it's become popular. The Gemara says that's not proper wearing. In fact, says the Gemara, it's so not a proper way to wear your talis that if you walked outside in Rosh Hashanah and wearing your talis that way, that's carrying. That's not wearing, that's carrying. You're chayav chatas. Hayotze b'talis mekupels menachas oktefov v'shabbos chayav chatas. Tanya Rami Achi, the Gemara says, I'll have a braisa here supporting this statement which was made by Rav Yochanan. Sochrik sus hayotze b'talis mekupels menachas oktefov v'shabbos chayav chatas. So you're chayav chatas. So it's not the proper way to wear it. Therefore, it's not wearing. Therefore, it's carrying. Therefore, it's a malacha. Now, even though the Bryce is talking about the people selling the talisim, non-specific. The minhagim of the mochrik sus is to wear it that way. The reason why they wear it that way is because they're selling it. They don't want it to drag on the floor. They don't want it to get dirty. But it's not wearing. That's not considered wearing, and therefore, if you go out with Shabbos, you'll be chayv chatas. Vechen vani al yotze b'masa sur lo besadino chayv chatas. Another example of money tied to your clothing. Money tied to your clothing, you cannot call that part of your clothing. It doesn't have a functional use, meaning it's not made for a button. It's just tied into the person's clothing that's carrying your chayiv. Let's say kach. And again, we're just using him as an example because he would tie money into his clothing, but it would be true for anyone. Haratanim. Okay, I'm going to make a terrible joke. Please forgive me. But those people from Boca Raton. Now, it's not a terrible joke in that Rashi says it's actually people from the place called Raton. Okay, in other words, it's a bad joke, and I apologize, but it's not bad pshat. Haratanim yotzim b'sudarim. Now, sudar is like a scarf. So scarves are draped around the neck, and therefore that is considered the normal way of wearing it. That's fine. Shal k'tefam v'lo ratanim b'vanam r'lo kol adam l'sha dark isha ratanim latzeis pekach. People from Ratan, that's how they would wear it, but truth be told, is that a scarf can be draped around the neck because that's the normal way of wearing it. Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Sorry. Hyrcanus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. This is the same one who went to study in yeshiva and dad got so upset, right? So the Elashanima Kruchalo be'etzba'al. Now, even though the scarf was wrapped around his neck, but he was worried it's going to fall off. So he basically he tied a string of it to his finger so that it wouldn't fall off. And the Chachamim said that you don't need that. It's enough if you just simply wrap it around your neck. That's fine. Even if you don't tie a string around your finger, meaning wrapping around your neck, is fine. So can I make a marzev on Shabbos? Now I know, it's like now we're coming back full circle. I'm making some sort of spout for the barrel. So I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, we're still at clothing. Okay, my bad, I'm sorry. I got stuck on the first half of today's daf. Okay, what exactly is going on over here with this marzev? So I'm not totally sure. But basically, the hem of the clothing is going all the way down to the floor, and you're folding it up. So you're creating a fold. It's like a gutter. You're creating a fold in the clothing. Can I do that? So the Gemara says, no. Now that we said no, now let's ask the obvious question. What are we talking about? My marzeva marazera kisi bavlasai. Babylonian pockets. Okay. Pictures here is worth 1,000 words. Okay, if anyone has any type of illustration, that'd be great. Revir me have yasif coming to Rabzera Amalei Hachi Mai. So can I do this? Amalei Asar. The Hachi Mai, what about doing this? Now again, this show and tell, and we're reading a Gemara right now, so it's hard for us to imagine what's going on. We got the tell, but we got no show, so it's hard to know. Amrle aser, amrle pap, amrle papa nakur haiklala biadech kol adaita delechnufe aser. Look, if you're interested in making a permanent fold in the garment so that it stays like that forever, so you can't do that on Shabbos. Why not? It's tikkun mana. You're fixing your clothing on Shabbos. That you can't do.
Why is that
same thing. We're saying the same thing. Kol dilihit anos share. But if it's a style where I'm going out, I'm folding it, but when I get back home, I'm going to unfold it, and this is just a style issue, so then it's mutter. Ki hader av shishi bre davide mitnae besadi nohava. The Gemara tells the story of an amora. Who this is the way he was mitna'e, made his clothing look nice. And the Gemara finishes up this discussion with a story regarding Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi went out to the field, and he had the two sides of his talis, which were on his shoulder. And then along comes a Tana, who was the son of the son-in-law of Rabbi Meir. Bezulochi Rabbi Meir Chatas. Sorry, you have to ask that in the form of a question. Bezulochi lochai of Rabbi Meir Chatas. I think Rabbi Meir, in such a scenario, would say that Jechai v'Karben Chatas for creating a permanent fold in the clothing. I think, he asks Rabbi. In other words, right, this is a scary moment. He's trying to correct Rebbe on the way he folded his clothing. Amar le dikdik Rebbe Meir ad kan. So Rebbe just couldn't even believe it. Meaning, really? Shilshol Rebbe Taliso, and Rebbe unfolded his clothing. He asked, in other words, even though Rebbe couldn't believe it, but Yehoshua said it, and so Rebbe unfolded the clothing. Various versions of the story. According to a second version of the story, it was the son-in-law of Rebbe Akiva. But basically the story comes out to be the same, where he tries to correct Rebbe for folding up his clothing. He says, I think Rebbe Akiva was mechayev chatas. I'm lo digdig Rebbe Akiva at kan. And again, Rebbe's reaction, same reaction. I can't imagine. Shosha Rebbe Taliso. But same conclusion, even though Rebbe couldn't imagine, but he unfolded the clothing. Kiyas Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda Amar Nishal Itmar. And the third version of the story is that it was not Rebbe who was the one who was wearing the clothing. It was somebody else wearing the clothing, went over to Rebbe, and asked Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, can I fold up the clothing in this manner? Okay.
Undoing it was no problem?
I mean, once you're undoing it, you're showing that it's...
No, I'm saying there's no problem in undoing
it. Right. Apparently not. Apparently. Okay, we are now... we're going to start this next Mishnah, and we're just going to go a little bit further for today. We're going to get to the very top of the next Amud. Harochet b'mei ma'aro uv'mei tveria. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Daf Mem, I think, that there was once upon a time where you can go into the hot springs of Tveria. Okay? No longer can one do that, but there was once upon a time where you could do that. So if you went to the hot springs and of the cave or the Mei Tveria, Vinistapeg, afila be'esar alonti os. And you dry yourself off with a towel. And 10 towels, which means, as the Gemara is going to be very clear later on, that last towel has very little water on that last towel. Lo yivyeim biyado. You can't walk those towels home in your hand. And we're not worried about carrying over here. Let's say that carrying is not an issue. The Gemara is going to point out very clearly the issue is, you may come to wring the towels. However, 10 people could share one towel. Oh boy, that poor towel. The 10 people could share that one towel. They're using it for their face, their hands, their feet. And they can bring the towel home. Now, what just happened over there in the Mishnah? Why in the first case? No, in this case, yes. Gemara is going to explain that when we're walking home together with the towel, and you see him about to ring it, so you'll say to me, hey, don't do that. The Shabbos, you're not allowed to ring on Shabbos. Rubbing oil on the skin, fine. Massage, fine. A very hard massage, not okay, says the Mishnah. Right, remember earlier in the Masechta we talked about vigorous mixing? Right, in other words, overexertion on Shabbos, no. And so therefore, a firm massage, no. V'lo mitgarin, you can't scrape skin off on Shabbos. Right, you have a little bit of dead skin, you want to scrape it off, the Mishnah says you cannot do that. En yordan l'kordima ve'en osin afiktazin. You can't go down into a particular river. The Gemara is going to discuss that. You can't make a piktazin. It's a type of epicat.
Emetic.
Right. Something that induces vomiting. Ein ma'atzvin es hakatan. You can't do any type of manipulation of traction on the baby. Ein ma'atzvin es hashever. Dislocation, you can't put it back into the joint. Can't be that the Mishnah is talking about a real sakana. Okay. Mishanifrika yadav ragla lo yitrafim bitsonein avarochitu kadarko vinisrap and isrape. Apparently, EMT of the second and third century involved cold water. If you broke your arm, maybe I'm not using the right terminology, but if you broke your arm, dislocated your arm, you can't soak it in cold water, but you can apply some cold water on it, and if it helps, so be it. But you can't soak it in cold water. Okay, I'm just going to go through one part of the Gemara, and then we're going to end for today. Katani me ma'ara dumya demei tveria. Mame Tveria Chamin, Af Me Ma'ara Chamin. Okay, the wellsprings of Tveria are hot, so the cave water also is hot as well. Harochet Dievin Lechatchila Lo. Now it says, if you bathed, the way the Mishnah sounds like, Lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. Mechlal Delehishta Teif Kogufa Filechatchila Shapir. Now what it sounds like in the Mishnah is to go into the water is prohibited, but if you want to spritz the water on you, or what we call in our modern day and age, showering in the hot water, I say hot water over here, let me try to be clear, made to very hot water, right? Not our hot water, which was actually heated in a boiler. That's according to everybody. Not a discussion. You can't do that. I feel a chatchila shapidami money Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon allows showering in made Tveria water. Ditanya, lo yishate ta adam mechamim bemetzon de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon allows you to shower in the hot Tveria water. Rabbi Yehuda amr bechamim also bemetzonim mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda says showering in the Tveria hot water is aser. Showering in cold water mutter. Okay. So our Mishnah, the Gemara just simply aligns. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, bathing in the hot water is aser. Showering in the hot Tveria water is going to be mutter. Atkan, that's so as far as we're going to get to today. We finished the discussion today of opening up the barrels on Shabbos, plugging in a hole on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah talked about various issues of keeping food warm, keeping water cool, keeping the food cool, and issues of Maris Ayin. We talked about the proper way of wearing a talus today. Draping the talus over your shoulders is not proper wearing. You gotta let it hang down. If you go out like that without a Shabbos, you're going to be chayev. And then Gemara discussed a couple of other issues, and we continue tomorrow with the discussion of towel and toweling off on Shabbos. We'll continue, God willing, tomorrow. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amar Tzakash Baruch Hu Zakusol Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anai Chafetz Amatziko Yadur Torah V'Yadir.